time to turn our attention to the week that was with our comedians Tereda and Gemma Gracewood. Kia ora, welcome.
Kia ora, Ellen.
Another crazy week. Let's start with a beige. Gosh, if I had a beige house, I think turning it into a rainbow paradise sounds very appealing.
This is the house of Jane Gottlieb you're talking about, right?
It is.
It is. I mean, this woman is she's one of the best print artists, you know, of the last 40 years. She's so fantastic. She's been painting all of her houses since her very first cottage in California, an incredibly bright array of colors. And somehow this week she's landed up in the Daily Mirror as woman who paints house bright colors is hated by neighbors, which is just, you know, a terrible shame because she's, you know, she learned about colors from the Yucatan Peninsula from a visit to Mexico way back when. And, you know, the house itself just speaks so clearly to her art that it's become an artwork in itself. But I guess if you're the type who likes to paint their villa, you know, gray and white, then you might feel violently attacked in the eyes by what she's chosen to done with her purples and blues and yellows. Yeah.
What colour's your house, Radar?
Oh, it's white. it's got a green roof and green trim. It's an estate house, so it's got that kind of, it suits the white. I was just thinking of, you know, having a splash of colour amongst the dreariness of the likes of Omaha or places like that where the colours range from nondescript beige to inoffensive slightly off beige or black. So I like driving around the country and you do see some. I think that I remember one, there was one in Huntley. I think it was green. There's a beautiful purple house down in Taranaki. Looks like one of those kind of big double story old state house styles and it sits on the corner and I'm pretty sure that one's purple. There are orange ones around. There are yellow ones. A splash of colour here and there, whilst it might annoy the neighbours, I suspect brings more joy to more people than simply driving past. You know, and I know there are laws around what you can and can't put into the environment in terms of you know, visual colour. But gosh, a rainbow paradise. How many of us would just want a little bit of rainbow paradise as the winter closes in?
Who makes those laws is what I want to ask. And I think Wellington actually excels at this, you know, particularly well. There's a kind of culture that's come through, you know, the deluxe cafe and you know, all those great beachfront cafes. And, you know, that you go around Newtown and Mount Cook and, yeah, there's just a really wonderful culture of and the wooden house hills. Yeah, God, I can't even talk today.
As well. And is it right? I was thinking about Trini from Trini and Susanna, I think, was saying that, you know, you wear these beautiful bright colours not only for yourself but because when you arrive you bring a little joy into the room for other people. And essentially, if you're going to go out and you're thinking of some colours to paint your house over the next little while, I mean, obviously check your local bylaws because some of them are oddly restrictive in their colour choices so as not to make your house stand out in the dusky confines of our natural environments. But choose a little colour here and there, a splant, a little red on a windowsill at the very least.
There's a canary yellow house in the next road to mine, which always makes me smile as I go past. But we're heading into the long weekend.
There it is.
And, you know, there's been so much talk, hasn't there, about enticing us to go visit our own country. And Dunedin, which has a regrettable history in trying to come up with slogans, because I was living there when it was. Do you remember the one where it's all right, it's all right, it's all right here, which became it's all right here, and then it became it's all riot here because of what had happened at the university.
I had the T-shirt.
Well, back in the news again. So, what do you think about this, everyone? The new slogan, and this is self-deprecating apparently. Dunedin, a pretty good Plan D.
Look, if there is anything that sums up New Zealand, and Dunedin is in many ways the epitome of the summation of our national character and psyche, it is the slightly understated promotional thing. We don't like to go, this is the greatest place in the world. We go, look, the other options are off the table, but, you know, come down here.
I don't know, there's Wellington. Wellington, absolutely, positively, fantastically, fabulously Wellington. That was...
Yeah. But, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah, and
it did take us a while to get used to, though, as Wellingtonians. But, you know, we got there in the end. But I was thinking maybe if more people in Wellington paint their colours, you know, their houses Jane Gottlieb colours, then it could be Wellington, it's all bright here.
Oh, very good, Gemma.
But I do,
for the record, Gemma's copyrighted there.
The pretty good Plan D also suggests that they've kind of taken Christchurch into the equation. It suggests they're talking to the North Island, right? Because, you know, I don't know, if Auckland is A, or, Wellington's not exactly B, but, you know, Christchurch is C. They're sort of saying, just come that little bit further. And I get it, I do, but $145,000,
Look, I suspect that a lot of that money was actually taken up with the printing of promotional brochures and bus things. You know, you can never, I don't imagine they sat down and someone came up with an idea and then invoiced them. Here is my idea. It's 145 grand. But, you know, the very fact that we are currently talking about it on, a relatively large radio network indicates that the thing has been successful. And I suspect there are some people who are thinking, you know what, I wasn't thinking of going to Dunedin, but I might go and check it out. They've got, they've got albatrosses and a castle and square. There's been a budget, and they've removed four of the octagonal sides as a cost-cutting measure.
Gemma, I think you've got a catchphrase for Levin, hey?
I do have a catchphrase for Levin, but I do want to encourage Dunedin and Central Otago in the south to really push the boat out next winter, and you know, if they're marketing to Aucklanders, and just go, you know, Dunedin, where it's a real winter. You know, or something like that, because, you know, like we don't up here in the North Island really experience real winters. And I think that's what they've gotten, you know.
Well, when you get excited by two snowflakes in Auckland, no, you don't experience a real winter.
Exactly.
Oh, there are more than two snowflakes in Auckland.
Yeah. Levin is just as a sitting duck for the most perfect slogan ever. And it's really simple. It rolls off the tongue. Levin, Levin it.
Oh, there you go. How much are you going to charge for that, Gemma?
It's free. It's free for you, Levin. It's all yours.
We've got a listener saying, you like this one. This is, Eke Tahuna is New Zealand's awesomest town and proud of it. There you go.
That's like going to be a very big billboard. I could see the 147,000 going just on the plywood for the size of that billboard on the outskirts of town. I've always loved Featherstone. If you lived here, you'd be home by now. It's very simple.
We could do a whole session on that, but we've got another couple of stories to try and cram in the next 2 minutes. And this is for people looking forward to a big roast, because we're heading towards winter, and they like a crispy roast potato. You've got the secret.
Look, apparently, and I can't believe this is true. I want to try it, but my face is saying, don't do that. Marmite. There was a chef, a food blogger by the name of Beth, and she swears by it. You say you drizzle Marmite. You only need 5 ingredients to make your roast potatoes, which is 4 more than I'd anticipated. I just stopped at potatoes. Salt, pepper, a bit of oil, and then Marmite. You can warm the spoon or heat the spoon, and then you put it in the Marmite pot, and then you drizzle it over the potatoes. I don't quite know how, and then you continue to drizzle, and apparently this is the secret. So even for those people who don't like Marmite, give it a go over the long weekend.
I am here for it, because Vegemite has always been my gravy secret ingredient. And so those things just seem to go together, gravy, roast potatoes, and, you know, I'm a Vegemite, not a Marmite person, but I'm totally here for this tip. It's sort of like discovering that the secret to cheese rolls is that packet of onion soup, right?
Totally. Totally is. We've got 1 minute. We're going to talk very quickly about the Pakistan spy pigeon, because I promised the listeners. But Levin, Levin the dream. There we go. Suggested. Levin, la vita loca. There you go. Some good ideas coming through. So you now have 40 seconds. Go for the pigeon story.
Pigeon flew from Pakistan into India, had a tag around its leg, probably the identity tag for who it belongs to. But of course, you know, the people who live along the border think it's a spy pigeon and are now trying to decode what the code is on the pigeon's ankle.
It's probably English that says, if you find this pigeon, please call Terry from Leicestershire. I'm waiting for my bird to come home. Somewhere an elderly English gentleman is just sitting around on a cup of tea waiting for Sarah or Bob or whatever the pigeon's name is to fly into the coop.
Thank you both very much. By the way, Joe says Marmite potatoes are great. Our listeners really do know everything. Great to talk to you, Tereda. True. And Gemma Gracewood.